The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Friends from college that I've kept close to over these many, many years. Live in Wisconsin. There's a group of them together, you know, all related to one another. Part of the story is for another time. But I go out to see them often. And last year, or earlier this year, many of them are married now with children. And one of the families, my friends, three of their children get married this summer. But more than that, they're tremendous with hospitality, but they undertook the wedding receptions themselves, hosting them and the meals and everything else. One of them was out in New York, but they did that one out there, but the other two were at their home. One of them was, I don't know, about 300 people, and the other was about 500 people. And I remember asking the mother of the three who were getting married last year at some point, like, "Are you going to take advantage of this, or will this motivate you to get some projects done around here that you really want to do?" And she said, "Oh yeah." Sure enough, there was right where the whole wedding reception area was placed. They kind of redid part of the hill, part of their lawn, with a nice path, and all landscaped and terraced up and everything. Something that she said, "Oh, we've been wanting to do that for about 20, 25 years. Wedding reception, having people over is sometimes a motivation to get something done, to prepare." Comes to mind because, of course, this Advent season is a time of preparation in a particular way. It's as we try and kind of prepare anew to celebrate Jesus' first coming, the coming of our Savior, and all that means to grow in kind of entering into what he's done for us and why we celebrate Christmas, so we would be prepared for his second coming, the end of our lives, the end of, as Peter talks about, the end actually of this creation as well. Be prepared. And it's certainly one of the images God gives us of heaven itself. The life for which we're all longing is of a wedding feast. We'll be prepared. And to see that our external activities, and many of them necessary, and in one way, love is always expressed in action. But certainly as we try and prepare for Christmas at this season, and in a particular way to say, "Oh, we want to be prepared, you." And part of that preparation is within as well, preparation of our hearts. And that's an aspect of kind of ongoing conversion. And we say, what's the next step in your own conversion? Be able to take that next step to see this time, always short, only 2 weeks left at this point, shortest Advent season ever this year, right? It's really only 3 weeks long. Okay, this is a time to prepare. Knowing we don't know the day and the hour. It's not like, well, it's all got to be ready by June 24th. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be 20 years from now. But to be prepared for that day is, okay, prepare now. Take the next step now. What is it in your own conversion? we hear part of our, maybe one of the most amazing parts of our story. I mean, there's so many, many amazing parts of salvation history. But our first reading talks about it, right? What it is we celebrate at Christmas. It talks about how God is coming to expiate the guilt of his people. We know that's fulfilled in Jesus. But it says something astounding. Did you catch it? It says that God is going to give us double for our sins. Not a double punishment. Like, well, you messed up, and yeah, right, our sins are wrongdoing. It's hurting us. It's hurting others. And it's not saying God is saying, well, justice would be this, but you're going to get a double beating. He's saying where sin has lost something, where it's wounded, where it's brought injustice and death, Jesus is coming, God is coming to not just restore what was lost, but to bring back more, to double what was good. Where there's sin in our lives, when we bring it to Jesus, we bring him our humble, contrite hearts, he not only takes the sin away, but he gives us a double blessing, a double portion, what was lost, and just as much again. Our faith, that's part of the truth that we proclaim, that God reveals to us. Be able to have that mindset, because part of that preparation for all of us, that taking that next step in our conversion, usually involves in some way learning how to bring ourselves a little bit more fully to the Lord, especially our sins. Because part of our brokenness is precisely not trusting God. Part of our brokenness at the level of the heart is our prideful self-sufficiency, our need to control, rather than in some areas really being able to trust in the Lord and let him control. So learning how to do that. And again, it's not meeting the Lord halfway, but it's this reality of bringing him ourselves, yourself. Because as we heard in our first reading, and as Peter says in our second reading in a little bit of a different way, but right after it says, God is going to do this. He's going to come and do this. He's going to come and take away our guilt. He's going to give us double for our sins. And it says, prepare the way of the Lord. But there's this response, but it's learning how to bring ourselves. And Peter says, it feels like God is long delayed. It feels like Jesus is taking a long time to come back, but he really isn't. And he says one of the reasons is that patience that God has, because he wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to come to that deeper repentance. But you know, that includes us. Peter's right, talking to the believers, right? God's talking to us today. So in one way, it includes people that maybe don't believe in Jesus at all, but it also includes you and I. It's not a static thing. And all of our external activities, and some of them as important as they are, as necessary as they are, make sure it's all leading to that deeper conversion, that deeper response to the Lord, that deeper being able to receive his love and grow in his love, the one that we're made for. You know, Father Prabhu and I are blessed to have a parishioner come pretty regularly and help do some cleaning in our rectory. And sometimes I find myself, oh, they're coming today, I gotta clean this area up because it's too dirty. Probably had that experience. I have a family member from my family, wonderful in their hospitality, but one of the rooms, they're like, nobody ever goes in there. Not visitors, not family, that room, that's locked. That's, no one can see that room, it's a disaster. When we come into our homes, there are certain rooms that guests shouldn't go into and aren't welcomed into, fine. But when it comes to Jesus, we have to, part of that conversion is actually realizing and learning how, oh, I've been treating Jesus that way. I've been even like, well, let me clean this mess up and I can bring Jesus this mess in my life. But this area, there's too much fear, there's too much whatever to really bring that to the Lord. Or it's just locked away. We just don't go there. And instead it's to say, no, I'm made for the Lord. Your whole heart, your whole life, part of that conversion. And really at the heart of it, beneath all of the activity, is to be able to learn how to bring everything to the Lord, including, and at times especially, our brokenness. your brokenness, your sins. Sometimes, again, we can give in to discouragement. And so it's so important to be reminded and to hold on to that truth of no matter how long or it seems how unchanging some area of my life is, where I know there's sin, I'll keep bringing it to the Lord. He's going to give me double. He's the one who gives me a new heart. But at the same time, it's not to be complacent. It's not to hide away. Surely the Advent season we prepare for Christmas can sometimes be even busier than other times of our year. Judicious to say, okay, there is preparation that rightly should be done, but all of our preparation should be helping you for this deeper preparation. If it's not, then get rid of it. And it's certainly to be attentive that sometimes our activity, it can be done precisely because we're avoiding something else, because it's too difficult, or we're too afraid, or we distract ourselves, or we're just complacent. See, God wants all of us because we're made to receive his love. He'll impress it, be attentive. One of the indications many saints, very holy men and women throughout history say, you know, one of those indications that we're really growing closer to the Lord is we're able to give thanks in all things. We give thanks in all things. Not just go through the day with some gratitude, great, absolutely. But to be able to say, every day I'm pausing, I'm intentionally giving thanks to the Lord, and I'm able to give thanks in all things. And for myself, that starts by giving thanks for the things that I'm immediately most grateful for, just to grow. See that as one of the gifts, one of the opportunities that can help you and I to bring our hearts, to bring your life to the Lord, to help you to take the next step. What's the next step in your own conversion? The next step that's going to help you